Blog Talk Radio.
I got a show to do today, don't I? Oh, I've lost track of time. And, wow. You know what? I think we're live tonight on the Rad Reality Show. We'll be back right after this. Let's get going. To the Rad Reality Show, live on Blog Talk Radio.
And you found the place where you can talk reality TV. We have special guests all the time, and tonight is going to be fun.
Welcome to everyone in the chat room, all the guests that's listening. Welcome. Welcome to the Rad Reality Show.
Call in at 347-237-5506. And when you do call in, push 1 if you want to talk to the host. Because if you don't push 1, I think you're just listening in.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is Thursday, January 19th, 2012, and this is the Rad Reality Show. Thursdays, we do our reality roundtable show where we talk about all kinds of reality TV shows and have a lot of fun along the way. My name is Cherry Garcia. I'll be your host tonight along with my sidekick, Mr. Paul, from Minnesota. How are you doing tonight, Paul?
I'm kicking.
You're kicking? Well, that's good.
And
that's
like,
better than Joe,
like Joe said in the chat, yeah, we finally have winter weather, winter temperatures, I should say, here.
Yeah, I had a rough night the other night. We had, when Rich got home from work at 2:30 in the morning, it was 65 degrees out.
Oh.
It was almost like summertime. We had tornadoes, straight-line winds, and thunderstorms all night long. And by 11:30 in the morning when we got up the next morning, that same day, it was 34 degrees out. It had dropped 31 degrees from 2:30 in the morning to 11:30 in the morning. And
wow.
by 6 o'clock that night, it was like 25, and it got down into the teens later that night.
We've had the 25 below wind chills, and I think we may have gotten close to minus 10 overnight. But, Cherry, it is so weird. I didn't know about the tornadoes, but I was listening again to an archive show, and it was a manic Monday, I remember, because Michelle was asking you about it. You had tornadoes last year that went by St. Louis Airport. You remember that? That was in January.
Yes, it actually took out a neighborhood not too far. It was actually a neighborhood in between where Vicky and I live.
Wow. But
yeah.
Even at that time, Michelle was correct in her statement. She said, you know, isn't it odd to have that kind of, you know, tornadoes or that kind of weather in January? And you said, hell yeah. And here we go, the second gen, you know, again.
Yeah, it's very unusual. And now the second year in a row, we've had January tornadoes and thunderstorms. It's just unbelievable. I've not seen anything like this in years. And 2 years in a row now, we've had this kind of weather. And I don't know where it's coming from or why it's happening, but I'm ready to be done with it. I don't like it at all.
Well, we've gone almost 11 months, very close to 11 months, since we had our last below zero temperature. So I am happy for that because it means that maybe we got a month of that possibility before it gets better. Now, the other thing is they're forecasting overnight tonight. I just checked if you heard me open my door. I was looking outside to see if it started snowing yet, but we're supposed to start getting snow tonight into tomorrow. And unfortunately, they're saying like an inch or two here in Minneapolis. The unfortunate thing is 3 to 6 inches near the Minnesota-Iowa border, and that's where my nephew and niece live. And like I shared last Monday, they're both, my nephew and his wife are both up here in Minneapolis, and they're getting a ride back to their home tomorrow. So I'm concerned now about them going back home tomorrow in up to 6 inches of snow down near where they live. So
they might just want to crash with you, Paul.
That's not going to happen. And they all know that. But, no, see, their insurance provides for the transportation up to the hospital here in Minneapolis. So they have no, it will be, you know, the ride is provided. I don't know where the person that's giving them the ride originates, but they're not driving. It's somebody else that is basically acting like a shuttle or a taxi.
Wow, their insurance pays for the transportation. That's cool.
We got to say hi to our chatters here, eh?
Right, we've got...
It's in there.
BB Boston, Shaitan Joe. Seymour, how you doing up there? That's another Minnesotian, however you say that.
Minnesotian.
Faith Ones. Jen Frog, how are you out there in nice California weather? Jess BB Love and Lola. And Miss North Carolina Beach Gal, she's probably in nice weather.
Yeah. I would think so.
And then we've got our guests that we can't tell who they are, but we love them just the same.
Yes. And sometimes it's somebody that is not just a stranger to the show, but somebody that maybe have had issues of logging into the chat. So wish we knew who you three guests were, but welcome as well.
I had a very interesting evening here at home, as I was starting to tell you earlier this evening, Paul, on the phone.
Let's not call it interesting. Let's call it scary.
Yeah, it was scary. I mean scary. I normally take such good care of my dogs. They are my babies. I have Callie and Chloe. Callie is my Afghan hound. Chloe is my little Italian greyhound. And they are my children. They, you know, are basically my kids. And I am very, very cautious of what they do and what they get into. And, you know, they're just my kids. I watch over them like you would a child. And tonight I was doing something on the Internet. And Callie, the Afghan hound, was very quiet, and I didn't hear from her didn't know what she was up to for a while and didn't see her for a while. And I thought, that's kind of strange. I better check on her. And my pantry door, my food pantry door, is always closed. I don't know how she got in there. I don't know how the door became open. It's always, always closed. And I looked up and noticed my pantry door was open. And somehow my Afghan hound had gotten into the pantry and had helped herself to 2 bags of beef jerky. Now, that's a really bad thing, first of all, because beef jerky is not good for dogs. But it also has those little packets in it that says, do not eat. And
those little things that take the moisture out, those little bags?
Correct. And she had taken these into my bedroom down the hall, and then our house has a family room in the back of the house and then a formal living room in the front of the house. And she had taken them in one of the bags in my bedroom and torn it apart, one of the bags in the front living room and torn it apart. Part of it was in the hallway. I mean, they were scattered everywhere. So bits and pieces of the plastic bags were everywhere. So I was running around trying to see if I could find those two little packets and could not. And I didn't know exactly how long she had ingested this. So, I mean, I was crying. I was so upset, so scared. I thought my dog was going to die. So my reaction was to scoop my dog up, put her in the bathtub, and pour peroxide down her throat.
Ooh, why would you do that? Oh, is that supposed to make him vomit?
That is the only way you can make a dog throw up instantaneously. And it makes everything come up out of their stomach.
I guess you can't poke your finger down their throat, huh?
Well, no. And if you do that, if you know how to do it and how much to give them and that sort of thing, it will cause everything in their stomach to come up. And so I gave her peroxide, and she commenced to throwing all of the beef jerky up. And I caught him. In the meantime, I got one hand on her, one hand on the phone calling my vet. And the vet is looking things up, and she's got me, the vet tech has got me on hold. My vet's looking things up, and the vet tech finally comes back on and says, well, she thinks that my dog will be okay, but if I wanted to call poison control, I could. So I said, well, give me poison control's phone number. So I call poison control just to make sure, not that I ever doubt my vet, because I've been seeing him for almost 20 years now, you know, but I wanted to call poison control just to double check. And so I called poison control, found out that they give me poison control for Children's Hospital. So I didn't care. I just wanted to find out if this was going to kill my dog. And they told me that those little packets are not they're not poisonous at all. They're not toxic at all. The worst it would do is make my dog throw up. And I was like, well, I already did that. And so after I've gone through all this turmoil and she's already thrown up everything in her stomach, I finally let her out of the bathroom and get her cleaned up and everything. And I go to start cleaning up this huge mess that's all over my house. And eventually I did find both packets.
Oh.
Now, so she didn't actually ingest either one, but she had ingested 2 packages of beef jerky, which really would have not been good for her.
Here was my question when you first said 2 packages of beef jerky. Those, you know, the size of packages or their contents can vary. How many strips or whatever you call them were in each package?
I was a good-sized package, I mean, a regular, I don't know, like an 8-ounce bag of beef jerky or whatever. I don't know the size because they're all ripped up and out in my trash can right now. But, I mean, it was a good-sized package of beef jerky, each one of them. And and she ate them all. She ate each one of them was completely gone. So, I mean, she had a lot of beef jerky in her stomach, and that's not good for a dog. So it's got a lot of salt and a lot of, you know, a lot of stuff she really didn't need in her stomach anyway. So,
what flavor beef jerky?
One was teriyaki and one was the original. So,
okay. All right.
But she doesn't. She's over it now. She's resting now. She's already.
Hey, my question is: were you able in the bathtub to just run it down the drain?
No, I had to clean all that mess up. But
sorry, Jan.
That was not a nice question. But I'd rather have to do that than. I thought I was going to have to call you and tell you that I was going to be at the vet's office all night because my dog is going to have surgery or something. I didn't know what those packets were going to do. I thought they were going to expand in my dog or poison my dog or something. And, you know.
And then I would say to you, well, you'll have your phone with you. There's no excuse. You can still come on the show.
Oh, if you knew what kind of mess I was earlier, there would have been no way I could compose myself to talk on a show at any time if my dog was going through surgery. You don't know what I'm like when I'm in turmoil over them.
I just saw Seymour talk about having been in L.A. and just got back here to Minneapolis. I wish you would have brought that weather with you. But enlighten me. I don't know who Bob Goodman is. Do you?
Oh, yes.
You going to share?
You know Bob that goes to Nikki's chat all the time.
Does he have Bob in his name?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yep, I just didn't know the last name. Cool. Yes, I do know that from the chat room. And that's why I always ask, because we know people from chat rooms and that type of thing, and I just didn't know. Well, that was really... It must have been fun. I don't know how long you were out in L.A., but that's...
Seymour went out and got to meet Bob?
Yeah, he was in L.A. the other day and came back, and he said he had lunch with him yesterday in the chat room there.
Oh, how neat.
Thanks, Jen. Bob G., that totally makes sense to me. Oh, could this possibly be a BB lover?
I wish that I really wanted Bob to go to Vegas last year because I so wanted to meet him, and he didn't make it last year. I've always wanted to meet him. He is such a sweetheart.
Yes. Cherry, that question mark is driving me nuts. I can't wait to find out what the hell...
I know. They're messing with our switchboard again.
You guys,
it seems like
on the switchboard, you get used to what everything looks like, and there's lots of stuff on it, but all of a sudden we see something, a new symbol show up, and we have no idea what it signifies. Anyway, the person calling from the Boston area at 781, are you just listening? If you want to talk, you got to press 1. Anyway. Did you say, oh, you did? Well, try it again. Oh, wait a minute.
That is passing one.
All right. Jess, oops, I should have.
Hi, Jess. You're on the Rad Reality Show.
Hey, guess what, Cherry? Did you see the question mark disappear when she pushed one? That's the question mark. Must be indicative of the same thing as pushing one.
Right.
Instead of that previous symbol.
Right.
Yes, what's new, girl?
Well, I'm officially on the manager's schedule at my work.
You're what?
I'm officially on the manager's schedule at my work. I'm no longer
manager's schedule.
Mm-hmm. Not
congratulations.
On the thanks. Hi, Beach Gal and Lola and Joe. I miss you. Oh, can we go to December yet?
We need to have summer first. Then we can move right from summer to December, okay?
Okay.
We need to have summer and Big Brother.
Yeah.
We can go, like, from today into summer and Big Brother, and then right to December again.
Yeah.
Okay.
I say tomorrow should be January 5th, and then the next
July
day.
No, July 5th.
July 5th, yeah. Sorry. And then the next day, November 29th.
Okay.
Do that.
See what you can do now that you're managed. Maybe you've got some extra powers.
No.
What? So what are those? How many hours are you logging in a week now?
Same amount as I was.
Okay.
It's not, didn't really change anything.
Okay.
Because I have power and I'm boss. So.
Now, yeah. How long have you been there? It's going to make me feel like, oh my God, time flies.
January, 16 months.
Whoa.
Wow.
No, 15. There we go.
And already a manager, huh?
Yep.
Climbed
some
right up
get
that
it
ladder.
Right away.
Sorry.
Some people get it right when they're hired, and then other people get it within months of working there. It just depends on the skills of it. There's no pay increase or anything. So. Power.
Well, congratulations, girl. Let's bring up Dina and see what she has to say. Dina, thank you for calling, girl. You're on the Red Reality Show.
Well, happy Thursday. Hey, Jeff,
happy
how
Thursday.
Are you?
I'm good. How are you? I don't know if I've ever talked to you before, but hello.
I've listened to you many times before, and I know that you're a big fan, but congratulations on your job. You go, girl.
Thanks. Thank you.
Jeff,
that's why I'm never here. I'm always working.
Dina's a North Carolina beach girl. Gal.
Oh, hey. All right. I know you.
It's all one big happy family.
Yeah, buddy.
So, Jess, I don't remember... And we've talked about it really quite a bit in the last few weeks. I don't remember if you were a Mob Wives watcher.
No.
Okay.
I am a Jay Shore watcher, not a Mob Wife. Totally different.
Dina watches all of them, don't you, Dina?
Yes, I do. I find myself in the winter months watching more TV. I force myself to the Big Brother months is hard on me because I'm watching TV, trying to do my outside activities and carry on in life. And Jess, if you get a chance to watch The Mob Wives, or you know, it's a quite explosive show. I'll tell you that much. Couple things I wanted to share with people that do follow Mob Wives. If you follow them on Facebook, they are running a contest right now, sweepstakes, where a chance to win $1,000 a week. And then also at the end of the sweepstakes, they're going to be picking a winner to go to New York City to meet these crazy women. So if you do like Mob Wives and you want the chance to win this great opportunity, I'll go and follow them on Facebook, and good luck to everybody that enters.
Well, have you already entered?
Absolutely. And let me tell you something. When you don't get the right answer, because the very first time I entered it, I got my ladies confused. How dare I? But I got the ladies confused, and I answered the wrong answer, and it tells you, you're a fucking loser. Oh, excuse me. You're an effing loser, so I love it.
That's awesome.
They cuss a lot.
No worries with the language. Modern Family. I mean, anybody watch that show and see Little Lily?
Yes, that was a great. I never watched it. I just watched it just for the controversy. I saw what was going on, and it blew up the television scene this morning. You know, people for it and against it, and you know what? In reality, children pick up these words.
Well, the reality is, and I can't remember which of her fathers by actors' names, but the reality is she never said the F word. She said fudge, but made it look like. So it wasn't as bad as otherwise people would feel or think about. But you're right. The children pick up stuff, and that's a good lesson.
They absolutely do. And that's why people need to be, watch what they say around their kids. Kids are like little sponges, They suck up all of that. And if they hear you saying those words, that's what they're going to say. And if they hear you using those kind of words, they're going to repeat them. And you can say, no, you're not supposed to say that, but as soon as you turn your head, those words are going to come flying out of their mouth.
Hey, can I do something here, seeing as I haven't played any of these in a long time? This is one of the shorter ones. I'm going to play this for Jess.
Absolutely.
Hey, girl.
I got another person on the line, so let me put up Jess. Jess?
Yay, that's me. I love that show.
Yeah, when's the next... We got a new episode coming up? I don't know. Anyway.
Tuesday.
Okay.
Yeah, Tuesday.
Well, what should we talk about first tonight? What show should we discuss first?
Patriots?
That's not a reality show.
Oh, well.
But I bet you dollar to a donut that Ron would be talking about it with you, and I know we have lots of shows to talk about because it just seems like there are never-ending amount of reality shows. I mean, I've found some that you guys don't watch. You watch things that I haven't watched. I still haven't caught the two that we talked about, Cherry. But Jess, I don't see any problem with the Patriots getting to the Super Bowl. I mean, I shouldn't think that way, with Baltimore. But is that kind of the feeling that they're going to have pretty easy time?
We are very superstitious, so we don't say anything.
Yeah, let's not jinx it. You're right.
Well, they have to because Michelle.
Yeah.
My girl Michelle is there, so. We got one more person I'm going to bring up on the line. Mr. Chi-Town Joe, you are on the Rad Reality Show.
Hi, Cherry. Hi, Jess. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Hi, Dina.
Hi, good evening, Joe. How are you?
Great. I love that you started to watch my favorite show, Justified. Wasn't it good the other night?
That was the best. That is some redneck, hillbilly, ass-kicking TV show that I've not seen in a long time.
The whole series is unbelievable. Last year was unbelievable, and then to pick up right where they left off 2 weeks later, afterwards was pretty good. But I was glad that you liked that. And
all
I'm
right,
taping,
who else?
I'm taping all the reality shows right now. So, but I wanted to talk about one new reality show. I had mentioned this to Cherry, and it actually is going to play again in 30 minutes on Spike. It was a premiere episode of Ink Master. I don't know if anybody
with
has
David
heard of
Navarro.
It.
David Navarro. Yeah. Well, yeah,
David Navarro is the host with two men, and I can't get into a lot of detail, but they're famous in the tattoo world. And the whole it's a reality show and a competition, and they brought 10 people into New York, and they're in front of like this meatpacking place. And Navarro comes out. These guys, and they're from all around the United States. One's from Paris, and they're all different types of Inca masters, they say. And it's a contest for $100,000. There's an elimination every week. And he says, he brings out the two guys, and then they're really hard on him right away. It seems that only a block away from where they were standing 150 years ago, the United States had its first tattoo parlor. So they bring them in there, and it's a butchery of sorts. It's not dirty or anything, you know, but it's all these pigs are hanging by the feet, you know, and they give them an hour and a half to do a skull on the pig skin, because from what I understand, the skull, pig skin, a lot of up-and-coming tattoo artists start on pig skin so that they can get the idea, you know, what it's to work on human skin. And they got an idea of what
this
they...
This is what they called their flash challenge.
Yes, you watched it then.
Right.
And then they all live in one house in a brownstone. And I think it was the next day, right, Cherry? They have this one big place. I don't want to say it was a set.
See you, Jeff.
But
they each have their own tattoo parlor room in the set. And so they have, you know, their own setup with their chair, and it sort of looks like how they would see their tattoo parlor setup, sort of
they have
the set. And then they have the elimination round the following day.
Mm-hmm. But they pick a specific thing, I think, every week.
The winner of the flash challenge gets a leg up on the elimination challenge, sort of just like when on Top Chef or any of the other shows that we see, they get a leg up on the following challenge. And so Josh won the flash challenge, so he got to pick the person he was going to do the following day. They were going to do cover-up tattoos, people who had tattoos that they wanted covered up. People had tattoos that for some reason either the tattoo was bad or it no longer meant something to them, or they, for one reason or another, they wanted it covered up. And so they were coming in with these awful tattoos. Some were very big. Some were covered their, you know, like the top of their shoulders.
Letters.
Some covered their whole, like,
letters
front
too.
Of their shoulder, their forearm. But they wanted these tattoos covered with another tattoo. And
so all the subjects stood in front of the contestants and showed what they wanted covered up. So the
right, and Josh got to pick his contestant first, and he picked a guy with a little bitty tattoo on his arm.
No, it was on his leg. I thought on his thigh.
No, it was on his arm. It was a little bitty tattoo on his arm.
Oh, I thought it was on his leg.
And they had 6 hours to do it in.
Yeah, because then they pick up all the other, not the contestants, but the people that are going to be tattooed, pick up a skull, and the name of that ink master is underneath there. So then they have to go in with them, and then, like Cherry said, they're really tight on that time, the 6 hours. So one woman walked out. That's not much of a spoiler, but it's very interesting how they really, Cherry, don't you agree, how they...
They were very tough on them. I was really surprised. I mean, they were really tough on these guys.
No.
And women. I mean, there's women tattooers there, too. And they were very tough on them. It's a really tough challenge. And next week, Tun Jones is going to be there. I was psyched about that. You know, if anybody doesn't know who Tun Jones is, he stars in the hit show Auction Hunters. And I watch him a lot on Auction Hunters. And so I'm going to be psyched to see Tun Jones on next week's episode.
Yeah, because they were showing his tattoo on his head, right, Cherry?
Yes, yes. Tun Jones is awesome. So it's going to be fun. I'm excited to see the show carry on and see what this plays
all
out
right.
like.
All right. I want.
Can you remind me when this show is on? And what channel?
Okay. It's on tonight in 25 minutes on Spike. And then it's on tomorrow. Your time, I think, is 3 o'clock on VH1 or VH1 HD. Okay? This is the same episode we're talking about now. And then it replays again on Spike at midnight tomorrow night. And that's it. And then I think it's on Tuesday nights, right, Sherry?
I couldn't swear by it. I don't have my schedule out here. I'd hate to tell somebody wrong.
You are correct.
I think that's right.
Yeah, I think you're right, Paul. I think it's a Tuesday night show.
You are correct. The new episodes air Tuesday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. And I did watch, like, the first half hour, just when they were, before they went to break, just when they first started checking out their subjects and how they were going to cover them up. And it is very similar, and I will not remember the name of the show, but it's in its second season now, and it's a special effects competition.
Face Off,
yes.
Yes, that's the show Lydia likes.
Yes, Face Off has, if you agree with me, Joe, seems to me a similar, you know,
yeah.
format.
Yes, it is. It's very hard. A very hard show
and
to do.
In the chat room said one of the judges is from Miami Inc.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So at any rate, I immediately saw it was similar to that. Now, people were asking, I did type it in the chat room, but I keep checking to find out when Lydia's show is going to be, and it could very likely be a similar type of show. The show that she's going to be on is on the Oxygen Network, and it's been given the name Best Inc. And it's already in the can. I mean, they already filmed everything. This was quite a while ago that she was on it, but they still haven't announced any premiere date for it yet to answer that, guys.
Well, we'll keep watching, and hopefully they'll put that out real soon.
If you're not squeamish, I don't think squeamish is a word to use, but it really, they don't hold anything back because you actually see them do what they have to do. But, it's something that I think everyone can watch. And it's so interesting how in detail the judges get. And as Cherry and Paul both said, they don't hold back.
Here's my question, and I think only somebody that maybe is an artist or who has had tattoos, and I don't know. Have you, Joe?
No, I haven't had any.
All right. I was curious when they were doing the pigs, what is that coming down from the tattoo gun or whatever term you use, what is that little, it's like a little plastic channel or something.
You mean it goes down through the tube, right?
Yeah, but it's like this little plastic cover over the tube or something, and I'm just wondering what purpose that...
I would think that would be for sanitation, because if you noticed, Paul, when they were actually doing the human beings like that, they didn't use that.
Oh, they
because,
did.
Because
okay.
Pork can tend to be being an old food guy and working in those kind of places. You have to be careful when you work with pork.
Speaking of that first flash challenge, that had to be pretty damn tough because it was 32 degrees Fahrenheit in that meat locker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and speaking from a female's perspective, oftentimes we can be a little bit more squeamish than others, and to walk into those surroundings. I mean, one of the women did say, I sure didn't plan on, you know, expect to be doing this. You know, I didn't expect to be, you know, in this tonight, you know. To walk into all those pigs hanging there and then to have to do a tattoo on one, you know, on the first show when you first, I mean, just get things kicked off.
Literally 10 minutes after they get off of the van, too. Right, Cherry?
Yeah.
They're pretty much thrown right into us, you know.
Your nerves would have to be just...
Right, but the point of the temperature is these are artists who use, you know, their dexterity of their fingertips and everything to get all these little detail. And for those fingertips to start getting cold, I mean, they were, several of them were shaking their hands to get the blood to get back to their fingertips to progress, and that had to affect them, don't you guys think?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, between your nerves and then to be so cold and be trying to be so intricate with that gun, I mean, it had to be rough. I mean, nerves on top of freezing cold, that just had to be awfully tough to do.
And especially,
it's just,
I think,
so intricate.
Because people don't realize, and I didn't realize this until I watched it, was some of these people, well, everybody has their own kind of style. And there are many more styles that I even knew of to tattooing. My sister, God rest her soul, had two huge tattoos on her. And one was a cross, and we used that on her, a picture of it, and had it lasered on her headstone, you know, because it was so intricate, you know. The work that they have to do, because some of them don't work in color, or some of them don't are doing something else. You know what I mean? Black. What did they call it, Paul or Cherry? Shading of
right.
The gray shading. So it was really unbelievable. I mean, and to have your fingers, like you're saying, it's hard to do that.
Yeah, it had
to
be hard to do all of that, the shading and everything that they do. I mean, that's just a tough work environment, especially for 10 minutes into the show. That's got to be tough. So I give them props for that. The judges were tough on them. That's going to be a good show. It's one to keep our eyes on.
At what point, I don't know what you wrote down for your show agenda, Cherry, or whatever, but hopefully at some point we will be discussing the premiere of American Idol. But
Idol. This is American Idol.
I just want to say one thing. I did watch that last night, and I thought the last contestant was the best.
Yeah,
the young man.
The last of last night was Philip.
Guy that played the guitar and played his own version of Thriller.
Right.
Michael Jackson.
What a name, Philip Phillips.
Yeah.
Yes. Awesome.
Yeah, he is
the guy
special.
Was incredible.
All right.
How about
he's one to watch.
Up the show? How about opening up the show with the young, young man? I think he was from Fayetteville, North Carolina, which is right down the street from us.
I lived there for a while.
You did?
Yeah, I was at Fort Bragg.
Oh, well, then you're very familiar with, we call it Vietnam down here. But, what a great military town. But anyway, the young man from Fayetteville who had actually beat Scotty McQuarrie in a singing competition, and then he went
two
in.
2 years ago.
Yes.
And
he was
so
awesome.
True.
He looked like he was about 12 years old.
I was just going to say the same thing. He said, I'm 17. I go, no way.
He looked like he was about 12. I tell you, the Philip Phillips guy and the Reed Grimm guy that opened the show tonight are my two favorites.
I didn't see it.
I hate
I love the guy that closed last night and opened the show tonight.
Now,
those are my two favorites.
I wanted to comment on Philip, and I would love to be proven wrong as time goes on. But they, about half hour before he came on, they were already teasing us with the commercial, you know, as they were going to commercial break, that this guy was going to blow, you know, there's still somebody to come that's going to blow everybody away, all this type of thing. I'm not saying that he wasn't good, but I really wasn't that blown away yet. I don't know why, but I want to see what he can do as time goes on. I would hate to see that he turns out to be a dud. But there was just something, and I don't know what it was.
I really liked him. I liked him, and I loved the guy that opened tonight. He was just incredible. He said he's been singing since he was 2 with his family. And he was just incredible. So comfortable up there in front of the judges and just was able to go up there and smile and do it without any nerves and laugh and cut up with the judges. And yes, Face, Halle Day was beautiful. She was the one that closed the show tonight. She was beautiful, too, and had an incredibly heartbreaking story to go along with it. She had left home, quit school, and run away to follow her dream, and went to New York City and joined a band, an all-female band. Wound up being addicted to drugs and couldn't pay her bills and moved back home, but her mother and father weren't there for her. They had both kind of gone their own ways. And make a long story short, she wound up trying to commit suicide. And her husband that she has now basically believes in her and inspired her to try out for American Idol. And she did, and she belongs there. She has one incredible voice. And I think that Jennifer Lopez even said she could win that thing. And I think she could. She could be the winner of that show. She's got everything they're looking for. She's just an incredible singer, and she's got the look. She's got that it factor that, you know, they all have. And
kind of like that blonde that was on last night that was a cheerleader.
Charlotte.
Yeah, my future ex-wife. But you know what was different this year? And I think, and I don't mean to interrupt you, Terry, I think they're doing something different, and there is a different factor this year than I think in any other year. When they start to sing, they show their name, right, and where they're from and what they do. And I would say 8 out of 10 of those people that were over 18 were unemployed. If you look back at it, they're unemployed. Or that, like the one girl that was homeless yesterday and that.
That lived in a tent, right.
That's from my hometown. That young lady that lives in that tent, that's where I graduated from high school, was in Gatlinburg, Tennessee.
Wow.
And I'm not going to say that she is the winner, but pulling for her in her situation, I've got to pull behind her. And I'm sorry, I don't know her name. I'll look it back up through the DVR. But I think that was the story Cherry just mentioned,
name,
this young lady right here, that's the American dream. That's the American.
Her name is Amy Brumfield, B-R-U-M-F-I-L-D. Amy Brumfield, 24 years old.
Okay. Let me write that down.
But isn't it something that a lot of these people are unemployed? And maybe this is because we haven't seen this kind of talent before, because until now, a lot of people were employed.
Yes.
And now these people are taking their chance. Because they are, what do they have to lose?
Right, that could be. You know, one thing that I see different this season is that they aren't showing as many of the
bad ones,
F-ups.
Yeah.
the people that can't sing and shouldn't be on there. They're showing a few of those, but they're not showing a whole night of those, which was really driving me crazy for a while. They used to do...
My goodness, Cherry, in earlier seasons, I swear the majority of the people they showed on auditions were the crappy ones.
They were, and that was driving me crazy. And I got to where I just didn't care about watching American Idol for the first few episodes or the first few weeks even, because I couldn't stand watching all the idiots get up there. It was just like a circus. And you really didn't, you know, it was kind of funny when American Idol first started, like the first time we saw it, okay, haha. But when it went on and on year after year, and they just threw it down our throats year after year after year, and, you know, okay, we get it. You know, there's a lot of really bad singers that go up there and try out. We get it, okay? You know, just don't make us watch them over and over and over again. You know, a few here and there, great, okay, that's kind of funny, but don't make us watch show after show after show of that crap. And I think they've gotten a good mix of it now, where maybe they're doing one or two a night, and the rest of them, even now, they're putting through so many. At the end of the show, you see all these people holding up their tickets, and I'm going, I wish I could have seen all those people sing too, you know. I want to know what they sound like, you know. But we don't get to hear them sing until they move on to the Hollywood, you know, nights. And then we get to hear a little bit of them, you know. But there's so many that they put through that we don't get to hear yet, you know. And when they used to do all those ones that can't sing, and then they'd show at the end of the show all these people holding up their gold tickets, I'd be like, I would have much rather heard them than all these people like William Hung, you know.
Yeah.
It was aggravating, and at least now we are hearing more and more of the real people that can sing, and not so many of the crappy singers that know they shouldn't be there. And I think they're getting a better formula for the show that,
well, it only took them 10 years.
Makes people want to watch the beginning of the show and see what, you know, they're picking up from the different cities. And that's a good thing, because there for a while I wasn't even watching the first few rounds of American Idol. It was just on my nerves too bad. I couldn't stand watching all the jerks.
Hey,
so
speaking of one of the jerks in last night's episode, was her name was Jessica Whiteley, and she started singing, and she basically put, you know, made herself sound like she was going to be this great singer, and she was just awful. And did you catch as she was walking out, she says, "See you in Texas."
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were like, can we tell her no? Because she shouldn't make that drive.
But you, how awkward was it last night when Steven Tyler hit on a young lady in the X? The St. Louis Cardinals picture.
Yeah.
Series. Her father sitting right there, and he made that awkward comment. I thought,
Dina,
young
I'm
lady,
so
you're
glad
not going to get through because your dad's going to knock him out.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I did grab the clip from that. Because, okay, for those that didn't see it, the father of this wait a minute, how old was she?
15.
She was 15 years old. Her name is Shannon McGrane. Cherry. Anyway, her father actually was a Major League Baseball pitcher for the St. Louis Cardinals. And
pitched in the World Series.
Appeared in the 87 World Series, which the Minnesota Twins beat him. and won the World Series that year. But
Paul likes that part of the story.
Yeah, I do like that part. I was at every one of those games. It was an amazing time. At any rate, so she comes up there and introduces herself and said, my dad pitched in the 87 World Series, and they all said, oh, you got to bring him in. Well, she said, yeah, my family's out there. All of a sudden, she brings in all of her little sisters, and I lost track of how many, all of her friends that came along, her mother, who was drop-dead gorgeous, and her father walks in. He's the only guy amongst all these girls. Well, her father walks up and shakes the hands of the judges and introduces himself, and he then gets to Steven Tyler, and please hold your, anyway, here's the clip is what I'm trying to say. Okay, here we go. And there's a long pause, so don't pipe in before I say.
That's right.
Yeah.
How's things in Beantown?
Oh, great. Beautiful. You know? Hot, humid, and happening.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Just like your daughter.
What a beautiful family.
The video of it was this long pause, and the camera looked at, oh, my God, did he just say that? In front of the 15-year-old girl, in front of her father, by this old rocker. And by the way, guys, that was the funny and awkward moment, but she really was a really good singer.
And
she really was.
Was she a tap dancer, too?
No.
That
no,
was
she
the
was
other
a
one,
tap
right?
Dancer. Yeah.
The tap dancer was earlier, and her name was Gabby Karuba. From Connecticut. She was 16. Yeah, she was good. She sang Sunday Morning by Maroon 5, and it was very good.
And she could dance.
She was a cutie. She was so
the
cute.
The one that saw, what's his name, Nigel?
Yeah.
Nigel Lithgow?
Yeah, she went in and said, can I give Nigel a hug? And they were all like, what? You know, we're all sitting here,
so,
and you want
to
give Nigel a hug?
I need to ask you guys this question, because did I catch that she loved him ever since So You Think You Can Dance? Is that one of his shows?
Yes, it was.
Yes.
One. Yeah, they canceled that show, I think.
Yeah, and the other person I wanted to talk about was the girl that came to audition, Skylar Dixon from Tennessee, and she had auditioned last year.
Mm-hmm.
And she auditioned with her brother.
Yes.
Anybody that watched last season probably remembers Colton.
Yes.
And the judges kept pressuring her, saying, where's your brother? How come he's not auditioning? Now, for those that don't remember, he was eligible because he did not make it through. I can't remember. Did he get cut Hollywood Week? I mean, when they cut it down to the final 24 or whatever, he did not make it. He was actually, when I was trying to guess who was going to go through, he was one of my favorites. I thought he really had talent. Well, poor girl, she's a younger sister, and he was not going to audition. And they kept after Skylar. Get your brother in here. Get your brother. Colton. So Colton comes in, and all the judges say, Colton, what do you mean you're not going to try out? You got to try out. He said, no, I'm not going to try out. And the camera kept cutting to his younger sister. And she was, you could see the look on her face like, okay, here we go again.
This is supposed to be about me, and he's taking the show again.
Oh, didn't that just break your heart when you saw
it? It did. It did. I felt so bad for her. She just looked so, like, I guess forlorn is the perfect word. She looked like, you know, this is supposed to be my time, you know?
And she sang first, and then they get him up there, and he comes up with, you know, he wasn't prepared, so he just, you know, picked a song to sing. And they start praising Colton, how much he's grown and how great it was, and the camera goes over to her, and she's just, oh. Thank goodness, though, they both got through.
But they hugged him. They, you know, he walked up and they all gave him a hug. And then Steven Tyler looked at her and said, I'll give you a hug when you win this thing. And I thought, poor Skylar. She just sort of got the bad end of that deal all the way around. You know, I just sort of really felt bad for her. My heart broke for her.
Mine did too.
I really thought they should have, you know, sort of motioned her up and gave her a hug too. She stood there and watched her brother audition, and she gave it her all just like he did. And he went up and got a hug from each one of them, and she should have gotten a hug from them just like he did. And when he said that to her, I thought, you know, that was kind of cold, you know. But I have to hand it to her. She took it like a trooper, and they were both very excited. When they walked outside and they showed the parents that they both had the golden ticket, their parents looked shocked, you know, like, what, both of you? You know? So they're both going to Hollywood so their parents could have two famous kids.
If they make it to that, they might have a very good year this year.
They could.
Tonight was a very good night, too.
They had some amazing people tonight. Like I said, the Reed Grimm from Canada was just amazing. I love that guy.
Canada?
Yes.
By the way, guys, I didn't watch tonight's episode yet, so I didn't see that. But how does a Canadian get to be on American Idol? I'm confused.
I don't know, but that's where he was born. I don't know if that's where he lives now, but he was born in Canada. Then there was a Chase Likens, L-I-K-E-N-S. He was pretty good.
Yeah.
There was a little boy named Eben, like Evan only with a B. And he looks just like Justin Bieber.
Oh, no.
I swear. And his mom, and he's only 15, and his mom and dad just support him so much. And he made it through.
How old was he, do you remember?
He's 15.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and he looks just like Justin Bieber. But he's a very polite little boy, and he made it through. He's got his golden ticket. He's going to Hollywood, so...
Speaking of lookalikes, even though he didn't go through, I really enjoyed the bit with the Ryan Seacrest lookalike.
Oh, that was great, too.
He couldn't sing worth a darn, but he could do Ryan Seacrest like no other. That was great.
All right.
He sounded just like him.
I had forgotten until I started looking at my notes, but I actually did upload one other clip, and I really wanted to talk about her from last night. The woman, her name is Lauren Mink. You remember her? And they asked she's 25, and she said, what do you do? And she's a director of Adults with Disabilities.
I loved her.
Yes.
Love her.
Okay, here's her backstory. It's a little over a minute long for those that didn't see it, and I just loved it. It was so inspirational in my mind. So this isn't her singing, but her backstory.
Oh, what's your name?
My name's Lauren Mink.
Lauren Mink. Ooh, I like it. 25, and where are you from?
I'm from Winchester, Kentucky.
Okay, cool. And what do you do?
I'm the director for a program for adults with disabilities.
Oh, that's cool.
My job is pretty much, I think, the best job imaginable other than singing.
You ready?
I get to work with people with intellectual disabilities. They have Down syndrome, autism, and things like that. And I get to play every day for a job. All the people in our program, they are ages 16, and we have some that are as old as about 65 years old.
Are we going to dance tonight?
You can if you feel like it.
Are we going to have hors d'oeuvres and stuff?
We're going to have lasagna.
I've tried to incorporate some music into it. Getting ready to have big fundraisers, so we're trying to do choir for that. And, you know, there's no harmony or anything in it, but they just have so much fun, and it always brings tears to people's eyes just watching the joy that they have. And you can tell everybody I would love the chance to be able to be a role model for people. You know, you can do anything that you set your mind to.
She did a country song. What was it called? Country Strong, I think it was. And
yeah, from the movie.
A lot of times you see some of these backstories and they're very inspirational, but she actually also was very talented. I thought she had a really good voice. And I did see in the chat room, Face brought up the guy from Australia that was a leading contestant in the year David Cook won, and why I can't remember his name right now, but, I mean, it was a shock when he went home. Do you guys remember who I'm talking about?
No.
Oh, he was... The thing was, though, he actually physically moved and changed his residence. He moved to the U.S. a couple years prior just so he could qualify to be on American Idol. So, and we've seen some of these people with heavy accents come on from different countries. I think they qualify when they become, you know, residents of the U.S., even though they were, you know, born in a different country. But why I can't remember his name. No, it wasn't the Oriental guy, Alice. Go on, guys. I'm not going to think of it right now. I'll have to Google it.
Okay.
I could. I didn't see tonight's show. And I saw, I don't know what this guy, the first person was for tonight. Sherry?
Well, actually, he's the second guy, not the first.
Okay.
The second guy. My bad.
But so who do you think's going to make it out of the two of you, either you or Dina, are going to win that?
Before you answer, I did find out his name was Michael Johns.
Oh.
And that's not ringing a bell. Oh, he was really good. Anyway, what was the question again?
I was wondering which one of the ladies were going to win and go to New York.
I'm going to answer that.
Well, it doesn't really matter because if I win, I'm taking Dina, and if Dina wins, she's taking me. So either way, we're both going to New York.
Yeah, we'd already discussed this.
And you can have Seymour meet you wherever you
wherever
fly
we
into
land.
That's right. Seymour is more than welcome to come along and meet us, and we'll have a good time up there with the mob wives.
Hey, Cherry, I think I could buy lunch for Seymour, don't you think?
I think we can do that.
I think that could be arranged. Hey, on
Absolutely.
A lighter note, Cherry, do you think I should bring up Lizard Lick now?
Absolutely. We have to hear about Dina's adventure.
Oh, there's more to it than what you shared before?
Dina had an adventure this week, and y'all have to hear about this, because this is good.
This is so out of realms for me that I don't even know where to begin. So a couple weeks ago, I'm out riding around, and I see, you know, Lizard Lick truck. Prior to that, I had heard about Lizard Lick through this show. So I'm like, Lizard Lick, Cherry, take a picture. Take a picture of this young man staring at me, taking his picture, wondering, who am I doing this?
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like if you're riding around in the truck that he's riding around, then anybody should be able to take your picture.
Especially that big of a truck, because you put that up online.
Yes. So, with that being said, I get a phone call from a friend of mine this week that said, Dina, this is so crazy. Dina, I have a friend who is a bartender, and they're filming a show out in Wake County. Okay, what show? Lizard Lick. No. You've got to be kidding me. Okay, I'm lazy. I don't want to go. It's cold. It's miserable outside. Why would I want to get out to go see a bunch of rednecks?
Where do they normally shoot?
They shoot Paul. Get this. Hold your breath, people. Me being the redneck that I am here in North Carolina, guess where they shoot? Within 20 miles from my house.
And you never knew that.
Cherry kept saying, Dina, if you're seeing the truck like you are, they're around in your backyard. No, Cherry. No. They're somewhere in the mountains. I don't know people that would live like this. She said, no, sweetheart, I'm telling you, they're living in your backyard. No. So I get this phone call. So we go to, and I'm not going to talk down about this because I actually had a good time. We went to a place, a bar, and this would be more of the biker's establishment. I would never think that I would walk in on any given day, but I found myself right there, and OMG, the guys were filming there. Lizard Lick was filming there, and the only thing that kept running through my mind was the night prior to this, we had just talked about Michelle stalking Gordon Ramsay.
You're just thinking the same thing.
And the whole thing that I kept thinking is, we need a hot rod just like Michelle's car. We need a hot rod, which, by the way, Michelle's feeling underneath the weather, so my love and best wishes for her to feel but much better. So if she's listening,
I was going to give her a shout-out. She is in our thoughts and prayers. I know she's in a lot of pain, and we definitely miss our Michelle. So we want to wish her the very, very best and hope she gets better soon.
So she didn't get to meet Gordon, huh?
No.
No, but she's trying again because I think there's going to be another day or two of production there, the weather, depending on weather. So maybe there's still hope. I mean, if I'm going to wake up and not know that I'm going to go, oh, and I got to meet these guys because I wanted to know how much, who would pay for a paint job, sticker job, on a $55,000 truck, which is just a standard. And he corrected me all too well by telling me that, no, yes, the paint job and the sticker cost more than the truck itself. And he also remembered me taking his picture. He was like, you are that person. I was like, I am. And then I went into a conversation that I have a great group of friends that meet on various nights during the week. We have, we like to talk on the radio about reality shows. Would he be interested in this? And he said yes. So I've got it in the works now. Cherry's going to send me the information to that. I gave him, we exchanged emails, and he said, yes, this is his personal email, address. And he said, absolutely. He said, what, I don't have to dress up? Nope. I can drink beer. Yep. We can talk. Yep. Can I?
Hey, this is sounding great. I'm going to have to watch it too. But Lola in the chat room, and why don't you share with others that might not know what the show's about?
It's
you go ahead, Cherry.
It's a show on True TV about a towing company that takes towing jobs that most other towing companies won't take because they're somewhat dangerous or whatever. They go out and take them, and they usually find themselves in predicaments that get themselves into some kind of trouble. Some of the shows on True TV have been known to be somewhat staged or recreated. So that may be the case, but it's funnier than hell. It's one of the shows that they always have like a Southern saying for everything. Something like, I'm happier than a June bug on a tomato plant.
Nice try. You get an A tonight.
But I can't do them all, but they are funny, and they're only half hour shows, and it's just hysterical. I don't know if I could even do the show any justice trying to explain the show. You just have to check it out once and see if you like it. it's a hoot. And there's one other show that I think you mentioned earlier, Dina, that is also going to be starting. Why don't you go ahead and tell them about that?
The Bayou Billionaires?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
These are people, which is unbelievable. The first couple is starting out. They were on Anderson Cooper earlier this week, and these people have worked hard all of their life. They are down in Louisiana. They do have natural gas on their property. A young lady, the wife of the show, talked her husband into a couple years ago of buying this tract land so they could extend the family and, you know, retire in good life, whatever. They bought a tract of, I think, 80 acres. I want to say, I'm not too, I don't want to say the how big the property was, but they bought this piece of property for $160,000. They put a couple wells on, and they've come in, and they call this mailbox money because they absolutely do nothing except put wells on their property and let the checks roll it through their mailbox. And they have about, they're in the next, now this is going to be for the next 20 years, they will have up to 16 to 20 wells on their property that is going deep down. Right now they're currently getting about $10,000 per month per well. You times that with 20, and they're going to go deep down without hurting the environment. Their biggest fear is do not hurt the property. Let's go from here. And these people, the young daughter the other day, Anderson, said, what's the first thing that you've gone out and bought? And she's so timid and so shy. She said, I bought eyelashes. I've always wanted eyelashes. Alrighty then. You know, but okay. they are down home people, and it's going to be it's going to be interesting.
Bayou Billionaires, huh?
Welcome to the South, my friends.
they're running out of places up north. You know.
Well, you know, I guess they're probably running out of people in New Jersey to make shows about.
Probably because of all the death threats.
Yes.
They've got everybody in New Jersey making a show about them. I mean, they've got Jerseylicious. They've got
Jersey Shore.
They've got We're Housewives of New Jersey. They've got, oh, gosh. What is the other one? The other one that was a takeoff of Jerseylicious. I can't think of the name of that one. Anyway, I mean, they've got tons of shows coming out in New Jersey, so they have to move down south and get some started down there because
that's what happens when you have the Sopranos.
So... didn't you say that one of the housewives of New York is going to be starting up?
Yes, reportedly on, and I got this information with Reality Blur. It's a blog, and for the majority of it, Jill Zarin, I believe, Fox is in negotiations with her by the TV show called Jill. Let me think.
Beverly Jillbillies.
Beverly Jillbillies. Can you imagine? Why? That's the next question, is why?
Yeah.
What a name. But, now, she's supposed to be moving to California to do that show?
Yes, I guess that's what, you know, and I find it a bit ironic with her and Bobby and, you know, how they do that, but, they're, you know, you know, money makes her move. Maybe she's the next Bethany. Who knows? I mean, Bethany's went out and made a great amount of money. I do know that there's a National Geographic is planning on Are You Tougher Than a Boy Scout, it's produced by Deadliest Catch. I think that's going to be something else. It's going to be something. And My Big Fat Gypsy Wedding is coming on.
And
oh, my goodness.
There is a TV show called American Gypsies. National Geographic is a version of Manhattan Gypsy Family. So I think that'll be something, you know, something that's on the, you know, the blocks. I think that production is, they found that it's much cheaper to do these shows than The Revenge or all the other, you know, those shows. And I think they're going for
it. I love Revenge.
They're going the right way.
Yeah, well, I mean, reality shows are cheaper than paying the big-time movie stars. And if they get a hit, if they get one that really takes off, and they get a few seasons out of it, it makes them a lot of money, and they don't have to spend a lot to produce them. So it works out very good for, you know, the TV stations to do these reality shows, because they're not paying top dollar to these reality people.
I'm sick and tired of the Kardashians myself. I don't.
Oh my goodness!
Arm.
I watched it for the first time the other day, and I don't know how that show could be a hit.
I don't really either.
I'm over it.
I'm so past the Kardashians. Well, I haven't watched that show since, I don't know, since it first started. I watched a few episodes when it first came on, and I was just bored by it and never went back to it. And I've known it was on, and I, you know, all I watch is reality shows, basically. I don't really watch any of the regular TV shows at all. I'm strictly reality consumed, and that's one I just never could get into and never went back to it. I wish, you know, there was more reality shows about families that we were interested in. I heard that Clint Eastwood signed a deal to do reality shows. Now, that would be one I would be interested in seeing.
Yeah.
I would love to see Clint Eastwood.
Now, there's two
No.
there's two that are casting now, and one's about Bigfoot. So I sent it over to Howie because they're going to be doing it across the United States, and it's new. And, you know, we know Howie and Bigfoot.
Oh, Howie loves Bigfoot.
So I hope he applies. And now they're going to do, like, a show. I don't know if you've seen it, who was casting it, but one of my Facebook friends was casting it. It's The Housewives of Southern Boston.
Wow.
Well, I can get in that.
Yeah, so that might be interesting.
Jerry?
Just
us talking about all these different shows, and I don't watch them. And I actually, at this point, watch more regular shows than the reality shows, which I, you know. But remember you telling me you got to watch Cajun Pawn Stars? There's one, a repeat tonight in a few hours that says a Dodge Charger 1920s. Shoeshine by Shoeshine Mike. Is that a good episode? Does that ring a bell?
I don't know if I've seen that one or not.
I think I have seen that. Yeah.
And then the other one I just found and set to record is Sweet Home Alabama.
Yes. Sweet Home Alabama is great.
I don't know how I stumbled across it, but it is, they're doing a repeat of season one, episode one. So this is a brand new reality show, and it's on Discovery, and it's called Fresh Meat. And here's the description: three first-time inmates adjust to prison life in the debut of the reality series, following newly incarcerated criminals through their first week in jail.
Wow. Are they calling it Fresh Meat?
Yeah.
Well, somebody gives the guy an extra bonus for coming up with that title.
And that's on Discovery?
It's on Discovery.
Tonight.
It's going to have season one, episode one is I think it may have premiered tonight. No, wait a minute. Yeah, it may have premiered tonight. It's repeating in about half an hour. It will then again repeat Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. And I just read the description and thought, you know what? This could be good.
Wow, I might have to check that out to see what it's like.
There's some talking about storage wars, and I will tell you that because of Face and because Cherry's reaction to something, I said, okay, I guess it's time for me to finally watch that. I've watched a couple of episodes of Storage Wars, which really does fascinate me, and I think there's another one I'm going to be hooked on.
Yes, that is definitely one that only fun to watch, but you do learn. Good night, Alice. Thanks for joining us, babe. And stay warm up there, girl.
Yeah.
I'm looking on my Discovery Channel, Paul, and it doesn't show it's on. Mine says Man, Woman, Wild, Dual Survivor.
I actually watched one episode of that show. Have you watched that one, by the way?
No. But I don't show it coming on tonight.
At Discovery Channel. Now, there's several different Discovery Channels, so make sure you're on the normal one. But it
That's what I'm on.
It comes on in 30 minutes, according to mine.
Not on mine.
And after that comes a show at midnight our time called Dual Survival. Does that match
Dual
up?
Dual Survivor is on at midnight, but mine's showing Man, Woman, Wild from...
Well, I don't know. Look at American Pickers comes on in 30 minutes, too. There's another show I haven't watched in a while, but a good... Holy cow, there's so many of them.
I know. But anyway, you were talking about... Storage Wars. That show, you actually learn stuff, about the different items that they take in and...
Values.
Right. There's history that you actually learn while you're watching an entertaining show. And to me, that's always, kind of fun when you get to learn something along the way.
I agree. That's kind of built off of the PBS antique... what was
Roadshow.
Yeah.
Antique
Guess what's
Roadshow.
On at midnight on History Channel? This kind of intrigues me. It says it's a reality show called Swamp People. Anybody watch that one?
Oh, Lord.
I've heard about it.
I've seen a couple of episodes of
that. I
love
Dina's reaction. Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord. No, let me... Okay, scratch that. Let's here's your sound bite. Lol.
Oh, Lord.
Lol. Paul, that is an absolute. If you've never watched that, record that one. So if you don't, you're not forced to sit there. But these are some out and out crazy people. I mean, I don't know. They're crazy. They're entertaining, but they're crazy. They don't mind walking right up to a snake, weighing more than a 18-wheeler truck, and just taking it on. Or they're brave. They're very
wow.
much right.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think I seen them on Letterman, because Letterman was talking about them for a while, because they catch catfish by the arm.
Yes, by their hand. Yeah.
Yeah, they put it right into that catfish.
Well, you've got to be a special person to eat catfish anyway, so that's all I got to say. You're eating the bottom of the pond, folks. Don't let these restaurants tell you any different.
Well, they have a lot of, like in Illinois, they have a huge amount of space set aside to farm catfish. So it's clean and everything. That's
why we.
I thought
the bottom was those fish with teeth. What do they call those?
Well, don't catfish kind of have teeth? I mean,
yeah,
they
and
are...
they also have the
whiskers.
Whiskers that they hurt. I remember that. But you've seen the pictures of what's going on in our Illinois River with those fish, the cod, that jump
yeah.
out of the water.
We have them at the Mississippi now, too.
Yeah, you have them.
They
yeah.
jump. They jump in the boat.
They jump in, and they're huge.
Yeah, and they jump out. You don't even have to go fishing now. You just drive your boat up and down the river, and the fish jump in the boat with you.
That can't be good.
No, because we're trying to hold them off from getting into Lake Michigan because of they eat everything. And they
Turn
have put
out.
Up they put
can.
Up electric fences because of them, so they can't get in, you know.
Gar, that's the ones I was thinking of. That's the really scary ones.
Which one?
Gar.
Yeah, the gar.
Yeah.
Those
you know,
are really scary.
There's another show, because you're talking about fishing, and a lot of these fishing shows come from the Alaska area, but one that I've wanted to watch for a while and started watching is Flying Alaska. Any of you
I have watched that. I've watched a few episodes of that, and that one is very interesting, too. You know, you get a perspective of, again, just like the show that Joe and I watched about the kids caged, about the kids in Louisiana, you get a perspective of a whole other way of life.
Not only that, but for anybody that's interested in aviation, which my career surrounded that, it is interesting to watch that part. But holy cow, especially the summertime, Cherry, when it's the sun stays up till, you know, 3-4 in the morning. I mean, how cool is that?
Right. And they use many different types of planes, too.
Yep.
And for someone like yourself who's, like you said, very into aviation, I'm sure you're into the different types of planes they use and why they use them and that kind of
and
thing.
And what makes it interesting besides the aircraft part is the girl that they focus on the most, it's a family that runs this airline, and her name is Ariel, and she is just a cutie and just so down to earth, and I just love her, don't you, Cherry?
Yes, I did see her. I've only seen that show a few times, but it was very fascinating when I did watch it. I don't know why I didn't keep going back to it. I just didn't set it up to record in my TiVo, and when I don't set a season pass for it, I forget to go back and watch it on a regular basis, and it gets
You're
going to
watch those redneck ones, aren't you, Dina?
I'm sorry?
You just were mentioning what Lola said. I said, you're going to watch all those redneck ones, aren't you?
I am, because I feel like being from the South, I need to be the queen of it all. You know what? That fishing
redneck
show...
Redneck Vacation.
Yes. Yeah.
Lola just brought one up that is going to be coming on
Tom
called
Arnold?
My Big Redneck Vacation.
Tom Arnold?
Yes. I think Tom
really?
Arnold is a part of this.
Because
I think
he was going to
be on that one.
Yeah, because he was on The View the other day talking about it.
He's I believe, an Iowan. He's originally from Iowa. So
right. Him and Ashton Kutcher. Do you see he got a haircut, so he looks better.
Yes, last night's episode, or
yeah,
whenever it was.
Yeah.
I watched it last night, at least.
Jody said that they have the show called The Big Redneck Vacation.
That's what Lola was, yep, that's what we were just talking about.
Yeah, right. Can you imagine that? Or My Big Redneck Vacation, yeah. Lola was saying.
Jody must have lived in Vegas and is now stuck in Tennessee, my great home state. So I imagine that is a shock to her. I imagine
she says I got
her
stories.
I imagine she does.
She does.
We'll have to have Jody call in and tell us some of those stories one of these nights. We'll have to hear some of those those Jody stories.
Yeah, we really do. We've got people that can be, you know, really fillers for some of these shows, you know, and the themes of them. I did watch, Cherry knows this, and I don't know how many other people watch it, but I did watch the premiere episode of Caged. And Cherry, I looked up Harrah's, and it's about 25 minutes west of Minden, Arkansas. So indeed, there is a casino there. So that answers the question live and on the air. What about any? Do we need to talk about any of the major ones? I've been recording it, but haven't watched a single minute of The Bachelor, and I have been keeping up on Biggest Loser. Anybody feel we need to talk about that? Oh,
can
shows,
I say one thing about The Bachelor?
Go ahead.
I'm over The Bachelor. I hate it because I say it every year. I'm done with it. But their stupidity almost drags me back in to watch just to see how stupid this is. But this year is...
So you've watched a little bit this year? This season?
Paul, when I look on the TV and there's women, beautiful women in bikinis going skiing.
Yes.
That's absolutely absurd to me.
Going skiing down San Francisco.
This man better write me $1 million before I put on a bikini and go skiing just to see if he loves me. That's how this deal rolls. I would not dare do that. They've already announced next year's Bachelorette, and it's from somebody that was on last year, and I'm tired of seeing the same people come on and having that opportunity. I say put somebody new on there, not somebody that we've already watched who has failed in one way or the other. So that's the only reason I'm about done with The Bachelor and Bachelorette.
Well, that's
I like Sweet Home Alabama much better than The Bachelor, and...
Yeah.
I don't know. If I'm going to watch one or the other, I'll take Sweet Home Alabama. And I just can't get into The Bachelor or Bachelorette anymore. And Sweet Home Alabama is almost the same premise. You know, mm-hmm. they're almost identical in
well, you were describing
the same
that
dating show type of shows.
You were describing
but,
that last or a couple of shows ago or whatever, and I could not remember the name of it, but there was a similar farmer show. This guy was a farmer and had women competing for his affection. Some that
Tribble.
Were, what was it called?
Sweet Home Alabama? Or
no,
the
no,
guy's
no, this,
name?
No, but this show that was probably on 4 years, 5 years ago that I watched, this guy had a farm, and he was courting a bunch of girls, some of them which were country girls, and some of them came from, you know, pampered city life, and they all were courting him. And I do not remember the name, but you described it, and I remember how good that show was. So I would think Sweet Home Alabama would be similar. But
I was going to ask you,
way,
your information
did work there, Cherry. Did you see that on the switchboard?
Oh, yes, we've got to bring her up.
Did anybody watch American Idol tonight that loved the Rhode Island girl?
I haven't watched tonight's Cherry did.
Yeah, because Miss Costa's been talking about it.
What was her name?
She didn't say.
Well, Cherry, in the future when you're taking notes, you got to write down the state they're from.
Yeah, because Michelle's been watching American Idol the last 2 days, so.
And the
welcome,
only reason,
Jody, you're on the Red Reality
hey.
Show.
Play that
hey.
Song, Paul.
Cherry, how are you? Hello, everyone.
I'm great. How are you?
Hi, Jody.
I'm good. I just have to call. I had to call in and tell you my first, not my first day in Tennessee when we moved here, but my second day. We were looking for the school to register my grandson, and we stopped some people and we said, where is the grammar school? And they said, well, you drive down this street and you go past the Church of Christ, and then you drive a little bit more and there's a second Church of Christ, and then you drive past where the turkeys are hanging in the tree, and you go about one more block and you make a left and the school will be right there.
So I, we're like, what? What? So we're driving. And I
Gina,
swear to God,
what's it was about this?
Yeah, it was the first Christ in Church and Church of Christ, and then the second. And I swear to God, my son was probably 30, and my daughter was maybe 32. And we're in the car driving, and we got past the two Church of Christs. And when we came to the turkeys hanging in the tree, we had to go around the block and look at them again.
There was actually turkeys hanging in the tree.
Actually, we took a picture.
I was just going to ask. I certainly would have taken a picture.
Oh, my God. That they were draining the blood out of the turkey. I guess it was turkey season or whatever. And the turkeys hanging in the tree. The next day, we were looking for something else. I can't even remember. And we seen a police car in a church parking lot. So we pulled over to the policeman to ask directions to where this place was, and he said, "I'm sorry, ma'am, but that's not my jurisdiction." And we're like, "What? You can't tell us where that's at?" He goes, "No, ma'am, I only go to the end of my jurisdiction." Like, oh, my God. Oh, but we had more fun. And then real quick, my mom.
Nice accent, by the way.
My mom said to me, we moved down here because my mom is here, and she's up in age, so we figured somebody better get down here to, you know, be around. And we had the opportunity to do it, so we did it. And she said to us, "Do you want?" Now I had only been to Tennessee one other time, probably 5 years before that, and she had took us to this restaurant right on the Tennessee River, overlooking the river. It was called the Marina. And she said to me, "Do you want to go to the Marina to eat?" And I said, "Oh, I'm not really dressed," because it was a nice restaurant. I said, "Oh, I'm not really dressed to go to the Marina." And she said, "No, it's just for lunch." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." So I said, "Sure." So we get in the car and we go, and she's driving, and I'm like, "Isn't the Marina like that way?" And she said, "No." She said, It's just by the Marina." And I said, "Oh." And she pulls into this convenience store. And I said, "We're going to lunch at a convenience store?" And she said, "Yeah." And I said, "You mean there's a restaurant in that convenience store?" And she said, "Yeah, that's where we're having lunch." And I said, "You got to be kidding me." It was like pulling into a 7-Eleven, only old, and you walked in, and there was just little, they had a cash register, and they had maybe two aisles of little stuff, bait and whatever, and then this little restaurant that was just, you pulled up a chair, and you ordered, and the waitress came, and it was the best food I ever had in my whole life. But we were like,
there you go.
Oh, my God. I can't even tell the story that I'm in a convenience store having lunch.
That's convenient.
It was convenient, yeah.
Hey, Jody.
Fun.
This is Dina. I was raised, I was born and raised up in Tennessee in the Knoxville area. So without telling me exactly where you are, you in East Tennessee, Middle Tennessee, or Western Tennessee?
I'm in Waynesboro, which is actually Middle Tennessee, right above Alabama. I'm 40 miles from Florence.
Okay.
And I used to live, when we first came down here, I mean, my story was just amazing coming down here. We had both lost our jobs in Vegas and really didn't know where we were going to go, but we knew we were going somewhere. And I said, you know what, let's just pack up and drive, and where we end up, we end up. And that's literally how we left. We didn't really know if we were going to go to Chicago, if we were going to come to Tennessee, or we just knew we were leaving with everything we owned. And as we were driving, we decided, well, you know, I had bought a house in Vegas 5 years ago when I was here, because I figured someday we'd retire here. But we certainly weren't prepared to retire when we left, you know. But so my house was rented, so I didn't have a house to come to, so I didn't think we were going to come to Tennessee. And then I thought, oh, if I go to Chicago, then I'm going to put my daughter in a, you know, I didn't want to move in on her. And you know, it just, we didn't know what we were going to do. And ended up just saying, well, let's just go to Tennessee. And if we find someplace, fine. If not, we'll have a vacation and, you know, visit my mom and enjoy ourselves. And at the time, my mom had, when we got here, she said, God, I wish I had a place, because she owns some properties, and she said, I wish I had somewhere that you guys could rent. And I'm like, yeah, me too, but there was nothing. And I swear to God, the phone rang, and some people that were running one of her double-wide trailers right on the river, I just, above, on a mountain, on a hill, absolutely breathtaking, said they were, that something had happened and they had to move out. So if that wasn't a sign from the Lord to say, stay here.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, and that's how we ended up staying here. And then we were there for probably a year, and then my renters were getting a divorce and were moving out, so I got my house back, and we left the river and came to where I live now in Waynesboro. And things just work out that way, but that's how
sometimes
we ended up
those signs.
Yep, exactly.
What a great
story. By the way, thanks to Lola, the name of the show I was trying to remember, and I looked it up. It aired one season only 3 years ago, and it was called Farmer Wants a Wife, and it was actually based on the same show that was in the UK, and they've actually done the show in Australia, and the one in Australia, apparently there was a former Australian Big Brother or something that appeared on their version, but it only aired one season. It was called Farmer Wants a Wife, and it was on the CW network. Holy cow, there's just so many to keep track of, aren't there?
There is. There's so many reality shows. I mean, they just keep coming out with them. I mean, every week it seems like you hear of another one coming out, and I love it. I mean, I love watching these reality shows, but to try to keep track of them all, it's almost impossible now.
Well, the Storage Wars thing that we touched on just a little bit, when you mentioned it, I went and searched this woman whose name had come up, and the search Nabila, and the search result didn't immediately give me Storage Wars on the results, but gave something related to
Paris Hilton.
Thank you, sweetie. Paris Hilton. And I go, what? This is a woman that has now appeared on about 3 or 4 episodes of Storage Wars, but her claim to fame from, I don't know, 3, maybe 10 years ago, I don't know how many years ago, she bought a storage locker that she hit the jackpot. In that storage locker were sex tapes of Paris Hilton that she ended up selling, because that's what they do. They buy these storage lockers looking for gems, and they try to sell them, you know, for profit. And this woman apparently sold those contents for $10 million.
Good Lord.
Wow. She didn't even go in there and like, go through it, basically. She sold it without even...
Oh, really?
Taking... I don't think she really went and took much out of it. I think she sold it basically sort of before she even went through it much. Somebody knew what the contents was or something. I don't know. Anyway, she wound up making a mint on that locker and sold
she
it for 10 mil.
In a lawsuit when Paris was trying to block the person that bought it, trying to block, you know, the distribution of it, and she actually was named in the lawsuit. I'm not sure how that turned out. Hey, I got to give props out to Face. Face One,
yep.
You are great. Just announced that it looks like Big Brother wise, Danielle, Dominic, and Portia, or as she was known as Porsche for a while, are in Vegas together. I didn't know about that.
I know. I got
Face
some.
Keeps up on things. He's
yeah,
he's on
good.
Twitter, and he He is the one that talks to Nabila, and he's known some of the people from Storage Wars for a while, and he may be able to use his friendship with them and talk to them about getting on the show with us. So maybe we'll have some Storage Wars people on the show. We never know.
I know Marcus Williams was also in Vegas, too. So something is obviously going on in Vegas.
Who else?
Marcus
Williams.
There's
always something going on in Vegas.
Yeah, because he sent me some pictures tonight, earlier.
And
so.
Wasn't Shelley just in Vegas, too?
Yeah. So something's going on. It must be they're filming something or other. I think Marcus mentioned it, but I didn't pay attention.
There's always something going on out there.
Yeah, we got to get these last year BB people back on, huh? It'd be nice to hear their voices and see how it's changed their lives in this past year.
Oh, I'm sure, you know, they're finally getting back to their real worlds now and settling in.
Well, not Luan. I think Luan, Luan will always be Luan now.
Well, absolutely. I'm sure it's changed all of their lives to some degree.
Sure. And I'm just waiting for Jesse to start up.
The Amazing Race starting soon, and we also have another season of Survivor that will be starting soon. So all those regular shows will be coming back around very shortly. So I can't wait for The Amazing Race with
Rachel
our very own Rachel and Brendan and see how well they did.
Yeah, because they said, what was the cherry? They said that they couldn't talk, but they could start talking pretty soon.
Right.
So maybe they have to wait till the show starts.
Right. Before we go, I want to...
We got another caller quickly, if we can bring that person up real quick.
I want to do one thing. Many of you know Panther. I want to send our condolences to Panther. She lost her mother just a few nights ago, and I know she's going through a very rough time now, and I want to send my condolences, our condolences from the Rad Reality Show out to Panther. I am going to be sending flowers up to the service on Saturday. So, Panther, if you're listening, our condolences to you, babe. I know how rough it is.
Yes.
Sorry to hear that.
Yes, it's so hard. Our thoughts and prayers are with her and her family. You know, I was on the phone with her about a week and a half ago when she got the call that they didn't think she was going to make it through the night. And it's just so hard. And thankfully she did make it through that night, and they got a little bit more time with her. But anytime, even though you know that they're that sick and that it's coming, it doesn't make it any easier when it happens.
Absolutely not.
It's just so hard. Losing a parent is it just takes part of your heart away. And I just want her to know that our thoughts and prayers are with her. And we're all part of the family here, and we're here for her. And we'll be thinking about her and saying prayers for her. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to bring this caller up. Don't have much more time. Area code 614, you're on the Rad Reality Show.
Hey, hello. This is Face Ones.
Hi, Face. How are you?
Pretty good. It's hard to hear about that Panther's mother passed away. I just heard about it, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, glad you called in. We didn't have much time left, so I wanted to make sure
we've only got 5 minutes. I need to close the show out, please. But I'm so glad you called in.
Well, that's fine. Whatever you guys want to do.
You'll have to call in sooner next time.
I guess so. I guess I'm going to have to.
So, what do you want? Did you want to share anything quickly about Storage Wars, or?
Well, I do have some contacts with Nabila, which is she's the newer one on the show, and she talks to me every day, so I do know her. I think we can get her on, but I'm not sure.
Everybody,
yet.
Start watching Storage Wars.
There's always contracts. I'm hoping I can get Barry too, because he's the most interesting guy on the show. To me,
I would love to have Barry.
I do
Barry
like Nabila,
on.
But Barry's like, you know. He's way out there character, and he's real funny, and he really makes the show. Him and they all really all of them are pretty good. And most people don't like Dave, but I still think he's pretty good. Anyways, he's pretty funny in his own way.
Well, Tom, I'm still new to the show because I just started watching it, and all the names don't have faces to them for me yet. But it really is an interesting show, like Jerry mentioned earlier, and so. Might start, people listening might start watching that, because if we get one of these
absolutely.
People on.
Absolutely. Barry is a character. He'd have to have a story.
My favorite is Nabila, because I talk to her a lot, but Barry's
right.
The funniest character on the show, by far.
Right.
Probably the most popular, but everybody thinks he has Twitter, but he doesn't have it. There's 30,000 on some guy's Twitter. It's not his.
You know, it seems like there's always somebody that tries to take over, you know, and do a Twitter account for people that don't have Twitter. You know, there's an imitation account for those people who don't do Twitter, you know.
Yeah, like Carrie Underwood, she don't have Twitter at all, but she's got one that's got like 70,000. Everybody thinks it's her, but it's not.
Wow.
Well, they now
crazy.
Don't they have it where they're checked, where they're...
Yeah, they're certified.
They're certified.
You can only be certified if you ain't got what is that on the profiles? You gotta be not locked. I don't know what they call it. They're like Ashley Trainor's got hers locked. You gotta ask to be put on her,
mm-hmm.
Something like that. You can't get certified for that. But if you're just open like mine is, you can get certified. Like
right.
Anybody can get on it.
Mm.
Well, Tom, thanks so much for calling. We're gonna have to. Wrap it up as the time is ticking away, and I'll throw it to you, Cherry, and you can close it off, thanking all of our peeps.
Say
right,
goodbye
so
till
much,
next week.
Tina, Joe, Jody, and Tom for calling in tonight. It's been a
fun
show.
Thank you for the show.
I appreciate all of you so much for calling in tonight, and thank you all of the chatters for being here with us tonight. It's been a great night and a lot of fun chatting with you all. I'm going to be closing the show out with Ron, as I always do. Take care, everyone. Be kind to one another. And be back with us on Monday for Manic Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern with Michelle Costa. And I'm going to close the show with Ron.
Thank you, everyone. I'm signing off, too. I'm going to finish off the show with... Oh, man, what am I going to finish off with tonight? I've got lots of stuff I can finish off with tonight. But you know what I'm going to finish off with tonight? I'm going to do this one. Sweet dreams.
Thank you for being a friend.
Thank you all for joining us tonight. Take care. Be kind to one another. Good night.
night.